Hello and welcome to NPR's Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Vacation Recovery Unit here at St. Vinny's Memorial, right within Car Talk Plaza. Well, you know, it's been tough. And if you wonder why the show has sounded so good the last few weeks, it's because most of our staff has been on vacation.
There should be. I mean, this is fun, but there should be a Vacation Recovery Center.
Yes.
Because you come back from vacation, you know, you're in no condition to go to work.
No, like Doug Berman, he really roughed it now.
He busts him, doesn't he?
For 2 weeks, he bought a tent with air conditioning. Okay, he went across the country. I don't think the tent ever came out of the trunk of the car.
No.
You know, he was tough. He had an Infiniti Q45 with a CD player in the tent in the trunk.
And the tent in the trunk.
And he stayed at Motel 8 all the way, Motel 9.
That's a step
9
up.
And a half.
Yes.
Jennings, Don Jennings.
Where'd he go?
Studying swimwear in California. And even John Lawler.
No, he didn't go anywhere. I know that for a fact.
Yeah, he was away.
He's been working.
You know he was?
Where?
He was at the middle name convention in Cleveland. He was shopping around for a new middle name to replace Bugsy. So he was really hard at work. But everyone's back now, so the show can now return to its, mediocrity.
It's usual mediocrity. That's right. I have mail.
I was just about to move on to the
next thing. Actually, I have a couple of pieces of mail that you might be... Plus, since we were on vacation, when you're on vacation, you have an opportunity to sort of stand back and not be thrust into the day-to-day putting out fires and solving problems. You can look at the broader perspective and think through. And I, during this vacation...
I did the same thing, in fact, and that's why I handed in my resignation.
You don't have to. No, I came up with a couple of brilliant thoughts, which I will divulge during the course of this show, if, in fact, the opportunity arises. If not, I will have forgotten them by next week.
Right,
But we do have some interesting mail. Here's one. This is
bad. Look, you got one shot at this. If this letter's lousy...
I'll go for the second one. Dear Most Honorable Tom and Ray, this is good. Greetings.
Almost honorable? What did it say?
Most honorable.
Most honorable.
We of the Bring Back Roger Smith movement.
Take back.
Hope so much to enlist your support for our worthwhile and honorable movement. Since you have often said, and we quote, my friend Roger Smith. I have said that.
You have indeed.
We hope you'll be willing to help us. Roger Smith was as good for our America as he was good for General Motors. What wondrous achievements he created there. The Chevy Citation, those marvelous diesel-powered cars, and the retention of two car keys, one to unlock the door and the other one to work the ignition while handling handfuls of groceries, etc., etc. Yes, the achievements of our hero were significant, and we of the BBRS, Bring Back Roger Smith movement, demand his immediate reinstatement at the helm of General Motors Corporation. Thank you for your support. Signed, Kikoshu Mogami, President, Seiko Hiroshi, Treasurer, and Kieko Kawasaki, Secretary. My sentiments exactly.
1-800-332-9287. Or if you're calling from Mexico, Canada, or Cleveland Heights, for that matter, the number is 617-353-6350. Hello.
Remember those... After all these weeks,
no, I haven't written down. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Norman from Great Neck.
Hello, Norman. What's the story?
All right, I have a great road car, 76 Buick LeSabre.
Yeah.
110,000 miles on it.
Perfect car.
My teenage sons love it. They call it the boat.
Yeah.
It takes 7 passengers. That's half the football team. My sons are hoping to inherit it since it's grandpa's car. The problem, though, is although it's a great road car, we can't take it on long rides. A year and a half ago, on our way from New York to Marblehead, the lifters start tapping, and then it feels like the transmission is downshifting. I have to pull off to the side and let the car rest for a while, and then I can go along at about 45 miles an hour, and I don't seem to have any other problems.
How long does it take for this to happen? I'm going to guess that it takes like 45 minutes.
Well, actually, I drove from Great Neck all the way out to Montauk. I can take the car 150 miles. As long as I stay 55 to 60, I don't have any problems at all. but it's hard to stay at that traffic on the highways around here because everybody's going a whole lot faster.
Yeah.
So if I try to keep up with everybody else by going 65 or even try to pass people, then I hear the lifters start tapping. And even when I pull off and park, it feels like I have
and you're sure
burning smell.
You're sure it's the lifters?
Well, I pulled it into a garage when this was happening, and they listened to the top of the engine.
Yeah.
And it really did have that lifter tapping sound.
And you get the noise more so when you accelerate, or will you get it just...
I don't get it when I accelerate. I get it after I've accelerated or while I'm accelerating.
Then it probably is the lifters, and I'll tell you why. This was formerly your father's car?
Grandpa's, right.
This was Grandpa's car.
Yeah.
I was told there was a problem getting oil pressure up into the top of the
right.
engine.
Right, and
that's
the
exactly
reason
it.
This happened is that Grandpa never changed the oil.
Well, I think he did. You know, we change it every 3,000 miles.
I'll bet he didn't.
I put in a heavy-duty oil pump.
You had what?
I put in a heavy-duty oil pump, and then we checked what I was told was the pressure relief valve on the oil filter system, and I was told there wasn't a problem. That wasn't getting hung up.
Mm-hmm.
But I seem to have a problem of at high RPM, high speed, I'm losing oil up at the top of the engine.
Yeah, oil starvation because it isn't. There's not enough pump. You put in a heavy, all the pumps are heavy duty.
Right, but
if you got the box that said
pump.
Light duty, lousy pump, you put it in. So they always put heavy duty on the box.
Right.
I paid for a heavy duty oil.
Yeah. I know. No, you got the regular pump. You may not have heavy duty bearings anymore.
That's what the problem is. Yeah. I mean, what's happening? When the oil pump pumps, it pumps oil through the crankshaft, and what keeps the pressure up is the bearings pushing back on the oil. And if the bearings are all worn out and sloppy, then they don't push back on the oil anymore, and you don't get oil pressure. So you can put in all the oil pumps you want, but you're never going to maintain oil pressure. It means...
Unless you can sneak in some sawdust.
Or bananas. Bananas have been known to be the cure for this, especially if you're planning to sell the car right away. But, I mean, the only cure for it, and it's not really all that bad, because if all you want to do is the bottom end, so to speak, someone can drop the oil pan, and some mechanic there out in Great Neck who's got nothing else to do could throw a set of bearings in this baby in an afternoon. And that will bring your pressure right back up, and this baby will pass everything on the road.
Well,
you'll be out to Montauk in 28 minutes.
Right, this thing will sprout wings. It may be that you need the crankshaft reground, too, and if that's the case, you're not going to do it in an afternoon. That's going to require taking the engine out. And that's the equivalent of a full-scale rebuild. If you're going to do that, you'll do new rings and the whole shebang.
Right. The recommendation was that I should pull this engine out and put a rebuilt engine in.
That's what I recommend, too. If you really like this car and the kids like it, I think this would be a fitting memento to old Grandpa to throw a new engine in this baby.
Wait a minute. If you just drive this thing at 55 miles an hour, it will drive all day and all night, and you won't hear any clacking?
Right. The problem developed a year and a half ago.
So well, hell with those guys behind you blowing the horn. If you're driving 55 miles an hour, and that's what the speed limit is, drive 55 miles an hour. Have the courage of your convictions. If they want you to go faster, that's their problem.
They'll run you right off the road, Norm.
Not in this 76 LeSabre. He'll blow them right down to Montauk.
This is a heavy road car, but it's intimidated by big oil trucks right behind me.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, they got no business doing
it. If the rest of the car deserves it, have a new engine put in. You'll love it. You'll have the car for 10 more years.
Okay, because my wife said to one of our boys, you know, if anything happens to us, you'll get the house. And they said, well, who's getting the car?
Smart kids. See you later, Norm.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks for your call.
Have it rebuilt.
Bye-bye.
Hey, the Puzzler Answer and more calls are coming up right after this.
Support for NPR and the following message come from BetterHelp, offering online counseling. BetterHelp therapist Hesu Jo explains the importance of creating a safe space for therapy.
I can't tell you how many times I've had clients that say that expression, like, I've never told that to anybody. That's when I know I've made some kind of momentous move with this person. They feel safe enough to expose that part of themselves, and doing that together with somebody else can be very powerful.
To get matched with a counselor within 48 hours and save 10%, go to betterhelp.com/cartalk.
You know, this is normally the time where we give the answer to last week's Puzzler. Do you remember that?
Puzzler?
You have been on vacation.
Oh, so that means we're going to do that. We can give the answer to the Puzzler of like a month ago.
No. We can't because the puzzler is on vacation.
Still? Oh, that's right. It's still.
And you know, we haven't
summer.
Received one postcard from said puzzler.
We haven't?
Not any good ones anyway.
No, they're all stuck.
But anyway, we just wanted to remind people that if you happen to have a puzzler that you think we can use in the fall when we resuscitate the puzzler.
Yeah.
you can send it to us here at what? Puzzler Tower.
Puzzler. It's not Chump Tower.
No. Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, WBUR, 630 Commonwealth Avenue, Boston.
Our fair city.
Very good. 022, oh, Massachusetts, 02215. Okay?
Yeah. So you're still looking for the ultimate puzzler.
I'm still looking for a puzzler that's as good as the Monty Hall puzzle.
Well, why don't we start stealing puzzlers from Marilyn Vos Savant because she's been stealing them from us.
Well, we don't know that. Maybe just borrowing them.
No.
She
got steals
national
them.
Recognition for
sure,
for
she her, makes it sound like she thought up the puzzler which she stole from us. And I don't think that's nice for a smart lady like her.
No, because we stole it from someone else.
Yeah, but at least we admitted it.
No, we didn't. Not until now.
You shouldn't have an IQ of 220 and be sleazy. That's too dangerous. Us, it doesn't matter.
We have a combined IQ of 8. 1-800-332-9287. Jesus, well
hello,
done.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, how you doing? I'm calling from your fair city, Boston.
Yeah, who are you? Don't tell me your name must be
Fred.
Bob.
How'd you know that?
No, what is it?
It's Rob.
Hey. Rob! It's not because I'm going for the alliterative thing. People's names have to go with the city they're
from. Rob from Boston.
From Boston fits perfectly.
Yeah, well listen, maybe you can help me.
See, my ESP is really working. It's powerful, powerful today. Mm. Bob, I just pulled Bob right out of the sky.
Oh, go ahead, Bob.
Bob, what's up?
Well, first of all, I could come down the street and talk to one of you guys in person, because I'm your neighbor, but I thought I'd call and do it the right way.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
we don't talk to anyone in person anyway. We don't know any answers. People come into the garage and we say, call us up, we'll figure it out.
Maybe you've heard my car going up and down the street, then you'll know what I'm talking about.
Was it a Datsun?
No.
Oh.
It was a Saab.
Ah.
It's an 89 Saab.
Uh-huh.
And it makes a noise that I think I've pinpointed to the wheels or the brakes. And it comes on unexpectedly, and it goes away just as unexpectedly.
I'm going to make the noise for you.
Okay.
Already? You know already what this is? He didn't even tell us. That's a problem.
Well, he gave us some hints. It comes on unexpectedly and can go away just as unexpectedly or without provocation. Is that true, Rob?
Right. And I can make it go away by tapping gently on the brake.
Yes, I'm going to make the noise for you.
No.
I was at the zoo the other day. I heard exactly that. Right, steady.
That isn't it, huh?
Which one of those was it?
A lower drone?
No, it's a high pitched.
Oh, the squeak. Yeah. Okay.
That one.
That was my second choice.
Okay.
You perhaps have a sticky caliper. Have you had a brake job done recently?
Well, they looked at it and they said it's probably some imperfection in the drum or in the pads, but it's not worth doing anything about. And they assured me it's not dangerous, but it's driving me crazy.
Well, you don't have drums. You have discs on all four wheels on this car.
Yeah.
And these are the original pads?
Two of them are the original. Two of them have been changed.
By Saab?
Yes.
Where's the noise coming from?
I think from
left front. I can hear it now.
Right front.
Right front.
He thought you had a Datsun.
I was facing the other way.
He thought you had a Datsun anyway. And this is the front pads are the ones that they changed.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, there's probably nothing wrong with it, and it is in fact true.
Yeah, they're probably right that there's probably nothing wrong, and it's probably nothing to be worried about, except it is making you cuckoo.
Well, the noise is when it occurs.
Well, Saabs are famous for strange noises. How does the dashboard sound? Do you have the famous dashboard creak?
No.
The little chirp.
No, you haven't noticed it yet. You know why? He's fixated on the brake noise.
As soon as you get this brake problem taken away, you're going to say, oh my God, what is that? And you're going to start banging the dashboard. Boom, boom.
Don't fix it. My dashboard in my truck has a rattle. At idle, I get this brrr, brrr.
Uh-oh.
And I have taken to wearing a boxing glove on my right hand so I can punch the dashboard because it drives me nuts. And I realized one day that if I turn the idle speed up 75 RPM...
goes away.
No, it doesn't go away, but it's different.
Oh,
so
sure.
I do it. I change every month. I you know, I do one and then I do the other one the following month, just so I can have variety in my life.
Did this noise come at the time that you let Dougie drive your truck?
Yes, it's the time he broke my battery. Anyway, Rob, you should take it back to them and tell them you can't tolerate the noise and you want them to fix it no matter what it is.
Even though it's not dangerous and even though there's nothing really technically wrong with it, you're going nuts, and they'll probably give you the 75-cent solution, which is a set of earplugs.
No, they may not have put enough paste on the pads. The backside of the pads has a certain paste which is supposed to reduce the noise.
Okay.
Okay, or eliminate it, hopefully. And they may not have put enough on there, or maybe they didn't put any on. So ask them to do the brake job all over again, even if it means putting another set of pads in. These pads are only a few months old, right?
Less than a year.
Less than a year, and it's been making the noise the whole time, I bet.
Most of it.
Yeah, tell them you want them to do it again. This time you want the pads, the noiseless ones.
Okay. And tell them that you're willing to pay, because, I mean, they probably think that you want them to put in a new set of pads for free because you think that they made a mistake.
Sure, you're pretty liberal with his money.
Sure, but, I mean, the guy's got, he's going to go.
If this were you, you'd be in there with your lawyer.
But you don't want to go wacko just for the sake of a few bucks.
No, they were very nice about it the last time. They looked and they couldn't find anything.
Good luck.
Thanks a lot.
All right, Rob. Bye-bye. 1-800-332-9287.
I have a question before you go on.
You're supposed to have the answers.
Before you go on.
Okay.
This was brought out to me many, many years ago by somebody, and I thought maybe our listeners could help us with this. Now, there are two cities in New Jersey, one of which is Red Bank, New Jersey.
Yes.
Another one is Long Branch, New Jersey, right?
Yes, I'm familiar with those both of those names.
Right? Now, cities typically have banks, and in a lot of times they're named after the city. So, I mean, there is in Red Bank a Red Bank bank, right? So now, does that mean that the branch is called the Long Branch of the Red Bank bank? I just want to know the answer to that.
Is this...
I have you speechless. Is that the Long
Branch? Is this what you
branch?
Work on when you go to your office
well,
every day?
I told you that I have been taking a bigger perspective. And this question was asked of me decades ago by a guy named Joe Hobaker. God knows where he is now. But well, he wanted to know back then.
You think he moved to Red Branch? Dry Branch. What is it? Broken Branch.
The Long Branch of the Red Bank Bank.
Boy. You deep thought. I guess that's why you get the PhD, huh? 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hello, my name is Rhonda Landy, and I'm calling from Portland, Oregon.
Hi, Rhonda.
From Portland. See, this alliteration thing is really working.
What's up?
And I drive a Mazda 323, a 1990 model, and the blinker went bad. The turn signal was malfunctioning, so I brought it in to get it fixed. And while I'm there, the guy behind the counter is trying to sell me this oil change package where for some ungodly sum, they'll change the oil on the car for the rest of my life. And he was telling, and he to the big selling point, okay, was he said that we don't just use any oil filter. We use the Mazda oil filter. And the Mazda oil filter, he's telling me, I just thought this was a regular oil filter, maybe smaller than usual. He said the Mazda oil filter has hydraulic lifts in it to keep the oil from draining back into the pan. Now, I figure he's a car salesman. I'm not going to believe anything he says.
You got it. Wait a minute now.
But I figured you guys would know whether or not this is on the level.
Well, no, they put your car on a hydraulic lift to change the oil. I think what he's probably trying to convey to you is that it has a check valve in it.
Check valve, right.
Which prevents the oil that's in the filter from draining back into the pan, which gives you what's called a dry start. And what they mean by that is when you turn the car on after it's been sitting, for example, overnight, if you have an inferior filter that's allowed the oil to drain back into the pan, when you start the engine, the oil pump must fill up that filter before it pumps the oil to all the crucial parts that require lubrication. So you get a dry start where the engine runs for several seconds with inadequate lubrication.
And that's bad because, as we know, first of all, there is inadequate lubrication for just a tiny bit of time when you first start up the engine. And really, a lot of damage is done. So if you add to that by having the oil filter be empty, that's bad. So it needs a check valve, but the Mazda filter is not the only one that's got a check
valve. Right. Most good filters whose names you would recognize, like Fram and Purolator and Sid Slocum's homemade oil filters, all those have a check valve, and they all meet OEM specifications.
Does the Mr. Coffee filter have a check valve? But forget about the check.
Right. What about the lifetime? I want to know about this.
That's what I want to know about.
How much was it?
What is this lifetime oil change deal? You would, just when you think everything sleazy has already been invented, along comes a car salesman with something new. He was going to change the oil for the rest of whose life? His life or your life?
His life. Forever.
How much?
He said I would pay something like...
$100
No.
$80 and then for every oil filter, and they would change the oil for free. It's like I'd have to like keep the car for like 20 years to get my money's worth.
So you pay them $80.
And you pay for the filter.
Every time.
Did he happen to mention that the filter was like $25?
No, the filter's like $6.
Well, you don't know what the filter is in this deal. Did he say how much the filter costs?
I don't remember.
Oh, this is crucial.
I'm guessing something like $5, which is kind of...
No, it isn't $5.
Do you pay for labor?
Supposedly not. Supposedly that's covered in my $80.
Rhonda, you're not a very astute consumer here. Come on.
Yes, I am. I didn't buy it.
It might be a great deal.
It might be a great deal. I mean, if the filter was really, say, $8.
And it is. The filter's somewhere between $6 and $10.
Well, but it might not be at Mr. Coffee here. It might be that he's charging $25 for the filter.
No, this is the Mazda dealer, is it not?
Right.
Yeah.
So he's charging you whatever the Mazda list price is for the filter, which is less than $8.
Which you would pay anyway. I mean, so if he's really charging you what he would ordinarily charge you for the filter, and he's not going to charge for labor, and he's going to give you 4 quarts of oil every time, $80 is a deal. I mean, ordinarily they would charge $20 for this.
Yeah.
So 4 oil changes and you've paid your $80.
Well, whenever it sounds too good to be true...
It is.
Sounds to me like what you're going to get for your $80 is you're going to get an oil filter every time you go in, for which you will pay, and you're going to get...
The same oil you came in with.
This is an experiment.
No, he wouldn't do that to Rhonda.
Maybe not to Rhonda, but maybe to everyone else.
See, I am curious about this. If you should go back there, try to get the real details and drop us a note or give us a call.
Okay.
See you later.
Fat.
Bye-bye.
Lifetime oil changes. That is brilliant.
We'll be right back with more calls and the new puzzler after these messages.
Hello, we're back. This is NPR's Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to answer your questions.
Are we really brothers? I mean, are we really?
Yes, it's hard to believe that we're so different.
How come I don't remember you? You know, we have a sister, and she claims...
We do?
She claims not to know you. She claims that she doesn't know where you came from. All of a sudden, you were like 30 years old, and she doesn't have any recollection of your having been around earlier.
It was those years in reform school, I think, that did it. We are here. We are endeavoring to answer. We will endeavor to answer your questions about
first,
cars and car
and other things. Well, this sort of has to do with cars.
But
I promised that I would give you some of the insights that I've derived over the past couple of weeks that we've been on vacation. And
wait a minute, can I ask a question first? How do you differentiate between this continuum of vacation and your professorial duties?
Whether
and
or not there are classes.
That's
if there
it?
Are classes, I'm working. If there are no classes, I'm on vacation.
So you work for like a week in September, 3 weeks in October,
yeah.
1 week in December.
Right, because
you don't work
Christmas
in January.
Yeah. January's out.
February, you manage to take a trip someplace and you escape. Someone else teaches you classes.
Right. March,
couple of weeks. April, final exams, and that's it. So you work about 5 weeks out of the year. And the rest of the time must be what, by definition?
Vacation.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that because I really wasn't sure, and I think your wife will benefit from knowing this.
Well, I have to share our great technical...
For example...
Wait, I gotta tell you...
Yesterday, what time did you go into work?
Into what?
Never mind. Go ahead.
In fact, that's relevant to what I was just going to say, that I have to share with you. I was talking to our great technical editor, John Lawler, the other day, and he was asking me the
John
very question.
Sebastian
John
Lawler?
John Sebastian okay. Lawler. And he was trying to arrange with me to pick up a car that he had delivered to us. And he was checking on my schedule. So he said to me, well, what time are you getting home from work? And I said, actually, I have to leave early today because I got something to do this tonight. He said, you're going to leave your office early? And I said, yeah. He said, well, don't leave too early or you'll pass yourself going in.
Did you?
I did. I saw myself on the other side
it's
of
like
the road.
That, it's like that puzzle we had about the monk.
The monk going up the mountain.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. One of my insights, and actually this is not one of the insights, but one of the things I've been discussing with myself recently. Given the great, great success that I had with gas grills, as you know, I went bonkies when I bought a gas grill. And because I had brought it home, and what did I end up with? A kit. I ended up with 5,000 pieces, and I had to spend a day putting it together to make a gas grill.
Right, you didn't see the small print gas grill hobby.
Exactly. Because they don't tell you that. And I thought it was, first of all, sleazy that they didn't tell it to me, and secondly, ridiculous that the manufacturers could think that they could sell something that they call a gas grill when it isn't a gas grill.
You didn't have the right perspective, number one. You should have taken it back to the store with the box, with the pieces falling. As you walked in, pieces just falling
just
out.
Just trip and spill them all.
And you should have said to the salesperson, oh, there must be some mistake. I got one that was all broken. Can you give me one all together?
Well, as you know, because of this great hoopla that I've brought out.
Yes.
Now the gas grill manufacturers are in fact making and selling completely assembled gas grills. In fact, Thermos is one of the companies that's been advertising. This is not a bunch of pieces. This is a whole gas grill.
Well, they must have gotten some nasty letters, though, huh?
Oh, think about it. It was unconscionable, if I could
use
the
term. So what has spawned this whole movement?
Well, here's what I have found the next two things that I'm going to really take care of in the world. I'll give you one of them. You know the little labels that they sew into the back of your shirt?
Don't those aggravate you?
Now, I had one here this morning that was digging into my neck. And I reached back and I ripped the label
out.
That's
it for that shirt.
I ruined the entire shirt. But in the process, my darling wife said, don't be such a knucklehead. Why don't I take it out with this little thing? And she's got a little tool that you do this with. And she said, my God, this thing is sewn in here with three successive layers of thread. Not only that, but the label itself is made out of some kind of steel belted thread.
Is there some underlying wisdom here? I mean, what?
I want to know, why do they make those labels that dig into your shirt, into your neck like that?
Thomas, must I tell you?
I am attacking them now. I don't want any more such labels. I refuse to buy a shirt that has a label sewn into the collar that is made out of steel belted nylon. This is ridiculous, and I won't stand for it.
No, you know why the label is there? So you can tell the front from the back.
The front has got buttons.
Sonia, head is too.
And tomato sauce. Look at this.
Is that it? I mean, so you spent.
That's it.
And what's the other piece of wisdom?
Now, the second one is.
How much of your vacations did you devote to this?
No, this was just today.
Oh, okay.
This happened today. The second thing is I'm after the automotive insurance business.
Oof. Oh, those upstanding.
Not
honorable.
Really. Not really. I mean, it's not that they're sleazy, because we know they are. But what I have come up with, and I'm not prepared to fully divulge this. I have come up finally, after great cogitation, with a national speed limit policy. How's that for a whopper?
I think it's important that we take a call right now.
1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Gina.
Gina,
yeah.
From where?
From Boulder, Colorado.
Boulder. This alliteration thing is really working out.
Boulder. I would ask Thomas, what is Boulder famous for?
Boulder. Now, you'd think I don't know. Boulder happens to be famous for the biggest ball of twine in Colorado.
No, that's Minnesota. No. Gina, do you know what Boulder is famous for?
Boulder Dam.
No. Boulder Dam. Boulder Dash.
Boulder Dash? What is Boulder famous for?
You want to know?
Yeah.
We're called the People's Republic of Boulder.
No, that's not it at all.
No? There's something else?
What?
No.
Does it have something to do with sports?
No.
Does it have something to do with money?
No.
Then I don't know. Presidents?
No.
I give up.
It's the home of Mork and Mindy. I'm sorry.
It tells you, I mean, do you still want to talk to him, Gina? I mean, a guy whose mind is on Mork and Mindy, do you really want his opinion on something else?
Nah, knew this.
Okay, Gina, what's up in Boulder?
Boulder?
Yeah.
Well, my car.
Okay, what's up with your car?
Well, I have a 73 Pontiac Ventura.
Oh, geez.
It's still around, but it's been overheating, and there was smoke coming out of the vents and stuff like that, so I took it to my mechanic, and she took out the thermostat because she said that was a problem, put in a new one, and we thought, great, that's it. But then, I don't know, a couple days later, there was all this like green liquid on the front seat on the passenger side.
Oh. Not on the seat, on the floor.
On the floor.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think maybe there's a leak, but, you know, what do I have to do? Take out the dashboard to find it?
Well, you do have a leak.
Uh-huh.
And what the leak is your heater.
The
heater core.
Oh.
Is leaking the green fluid is antifreeze.
Right.
And it's leaking
it's
out.
Mork's blood.
And it's leaking out onto your floor, and now every bit of antifreeze that you lose, especially in hot weather, which you had out there, and will continue to have for a while, every bit of antifreeze you lose increases the chances that the thing's going to overheat.
Right.
Yeah, so the thermostat was a good try, but not good enough.
Well, I'm a little worried about your mechanic who so glibly pronounced the thermostat to be the culprit.
Well, that's what I was wondering, too. I mean,
I'm wondering about that, too.
Well, let's not point the accusatory finger. In fact, the thermostat may have been bad, and it's often the case that when you find one problem, you don't go looking for a second one.
Right.
You know, so it's possible that the thermostat was stuck, and she could easily have diagnosed that, and it may have been true, and she didn't bother to look for the fact that you were leaking coolant, although a pressure test is done to detect leaks.
If she had done a pressure test, she would have known that it wasn't the lousy thermostat. The heater core is what's leaking, and you take it out, and probably you'll have to buy a new one.
You will have to buy a new one.
Because it's a million years old, it'll be all rotted away, and it's not that expensive. The labor will be a bit because it's hard to get in there.
You have air conditioning?
Yeah.
Oh.
We don't use it, so.
It doesn't make any difference.
It doesn't matter if you use it. You got it. So that means it gets in the way of everything else.
Mm.
You're looking at a few $100.
Really?
Yeah,
oh,
but
that's
so what?
Not worth it.
Wow. What?
That's almost not worth it with a 73.
Well,
watch that. Watch that talk, Gina.
There's another solution here.
Loose lips sink ships. What?
there's an interim solution.
Uh-huh.
It's summertime. You don't need heat in the summer.
Right.
You can take the two hoses that go to the heater core,
uh-huh.
one goes and one comes, and you can just shunt them together and bypass the heater.
Oh, yeah.
And you can do that until it gets cold, like October, November.
Right.
During which time, you can go out and look for another car
exactly.
or save up your money.
Save up the money for the new heater core.
Right. Or sell it to an unsuspecting college student.
Oh, Gina! are you in the automotive business somehow?
I probably should be.
You should be.
I should be.
God.
Well, we'll send that on all points bulletin.
Well, you gotta if you're gonna sell it to the unsuspecting college student, make sure you do it before it gets cold.
That's right. I'll do it in. Yeah.
See you later.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for your call.
Good luck.
Bye
bye. Well, look, another hour of car talk has mercifully come to an end.
Thank God.
Our producer is the inestimable and often missing Doug Berman. Our assistant producer is the indefatigable Dawn Jennings. We've had production assistance from the incalculable Stephanie Cool. Our engineer this week is the invisible Mark Navin. No, Mark is here.
He's here.
Our technical advisor is the incarcerated John Bugsy Law. Oh, I meant incandescent. I'm sorry.
He's lights up
and
my life.
Ken Rogers is the dean of the Department of Automusicology. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research. You all right?
Carry on, you light up my...
Our automotive medical researcher is Dr. Denton Fender. The manager of the Tappet Brothers Capital Depreciation Fund is Less Is More. Our staff psychologist is Les Moody. Our staff composer is Bela Kartok. Our chief legal counsel... Oh, never mind. He's in jail anyway. We're Click and Clack the Tappet Brothers. Thanks for listening. Wear your seatbelt and don't drive like a knucklehead. See you next week.
So long.
This is NPR, National Public Radio.